Welcome to our study through the Gospel of Mark. We are in chapter 5, and you know, as a recap, you know, I've started to wonder a little bit if I would really appreciate who Jesus really is if I never went through any difficulty in my life. Would I really appreciate Jesus if I never went through something hard? So thank you, Lord, you know, for the trials we go through that build up our faith, right? And maybe we need to go through some storms like we talked about last week, like his closest disciples did. But more importantly, we need to make it through those storms. We need to make it through with faith. And why is that? Because there are still people on the other side of the lake that need help. And they need faith, and they need the gospel brought to them. And that's why Jesus came, to proclaim the good news. And today, let me just tell you, we are headed into some strange territory. This is going to be kind of a weird sermon today, I'm telling you. It gets a little spooky. All right, so Jesus and his disciples have just crossed the Sea of Galilee, and they just come out of this emotional, traumatic situation, and they were all thinking that they were going to die on Galilee, right? And Jesus calmed it, and he just said, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Then they hit the shoreline, picking it up in Mark chapter 5, verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. This is mostly a Gentile region, okay? And when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit, hang on to that word, impure. A man with an impure spirit came from the tombs. The tombs. Yeah, I was spooked too, right? To meet him, the man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Luke's gospel tells us he wasn't wearing any clothes. I mean, I feel like I need a fog machine up here or something, right? I mean, this is a crazy story. Does this sound like a horror story? A little bit. Imagine just going out and hearing screaming into the night and people walking out of tombs. By the way, if you want to be a part of a horror movie, just walk into Home Depot. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, you'll be surrounded by 10-foot yard ghouls. Serious. I mean, can I help you, sir? Yeah, can you tell me where the Grim Reaper is? I mean, is this considered a home improvement item? Are you serious? I don't know what to think anymore about our world. I don't get it. I'm just trying to buy some tile for my bathroom, and now I'm terrified at a Home Depot. All right? All right, let's carry on. Verse 6. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me? Jesus, Son of the Most High," was probably louder than that. Isn't it amazing that the demons always know who Jesus is? Every time. They know who he is. Everyone else questions who Jesus is. They question his identity. They question his authority. They question where he came from and everything else they can question. But the demons, they know exactly who he is and they never question it. They know the truth and they don't want you to know the truth. They don't want you to know who Jesus really is. The demon says, in God's name, don't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you impure spirit. There's that word again. Exclamation mark. There's something, a little battling happened here. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Now, this just got crazy, right? Let's observe this for a minute. This man lived in the tombs. Why? Because nobody could bind him, not even with chains. No one was strong enough to subdue him because he was inhabited by demons. Apparently, demons have some serious rage issues. It looks that way, doesn't it? Listen, evil is not some cheap costume hanging on the rack at the Halloween store. Okay, we may want to put on a scary mask and run around at night, but the reality is that if evil could put you on, I mean, seriously, inhabit your life, then evil would be wearing you like a costume. That's the reality, because that's what happened to this guy. This guy's inner reality was a horror film, a life completely taken over by demonic possession. And I have to admit, this stuff, I mean, I don't fully understand it. I don't fully understand why a demon would ask Jesus for permission to stay in the area. I mean, that just freaks me out. But maybe all we need to understand and acknowledge for today is what the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's put it up. What does it say? For our struggle, you guys going through struggles? Yeah? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? The rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I'm as shocked as the disciples were. Right? Well, if this is your first time at Hope Church, well, thanks for stopping by for the most terrifying sermon I've ever given. Thanks for being here today. Right, but there are no special effects here. Right? This is real cutting, real chains, real blood, real tombs filled with real dead people. Real dead. I don't know if that makes sense, but with dead people. And this demon is not acting alone. He is with a legion of demons who have some type of influence over this region. And if you thought this was weird, it's going to get more weird right now. Verse 11. A huge herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. Verse 13. He gave them permission. And the, what kind of spirits? Impure. There it is again, a third time. And the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs, and the herd, about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the lake, and they were drowned. And those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus, leave our region, please leave. Go away. And what is this about? I mean, what a strange reaction, right? Jesus, could you please leave? We don't want you here. I mean, you just completely saved this guy from demonic possession and all the rest of us from demonic oppression. But could you just go somewhere else? You would think that they would be praising God for this miracle. You would think that. But the truth is that we often choose to ignore the evil in our lives. And we often choose to just try to lock it away somewhere and hope that it stays out in the graveyard. And we just go on with our lives. But let me tell you, that thing is still alive and it's still kicking and it's still screaming. But we'd rather do that than be willing to accept what it takes to rid ourselves of the evil in our lives. What if it takes a financial loss to get right with God? What if it takes a new way of living that you're not used to? What if it takes falling at the feet of Jesus and allowing Him to completely take over every part of your life? You know, for these people, this was a tremendous financial loss for them. The 2,000 pigs were worth a lot of money, estimated in the millions of dollars in today's dollars. But even still, it's not like they were going to recover the loss, right? The pigs were gone. They could have at least said something like, what do we do now, Jesus? You know, we've lost our main source, right? Are you going to be the main source for us? I mean, they could have asked these kind of questions. But if you've been with us through this study, you may have noticed this, or you may have missed it, but in the previous passages, we've encountered impure spirits already. In Mark chapter 1, by the way, Jesus drives out a demon out of a man who's in a synagogue, and that impure spirit goes screaming off. Again, they're called impure spirits. In fact, in the next chapter, Jesus gives authority to his disciples to drive out impure spirits. This term is mentioned over 20 times throughout the New Testament related to demons, right? An impure or unclean spirit is a demon that takes pleasure in wickedness. And they are spiritually polluted, right? And they can't wait to promote that same, you know, putrid, filthy lifestyle in humans. So whether you're possessed by a demon or not, they still want to influence your life to live in opposition to God. And this guy was possessed, but we can see the influence of the demons on the culture regionally here and in people. Now, what these spiritual beings, okay, these are spiritual beings, what they aim for in life are impure and immoral things that stand in direct opposition to what the Holy Spirit wants in our lives. Okay, think about that. We don't call the Holy Spirit the impure spirit. We call Him the Holy Spirit. We call Him the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit promotes cleanliness in your life, purity in your life, freedom from sin. He wants to pull you out of the filth. He wants your life not only free from the junk, wicked influences of this world, but He wants you to feel clean inside. Wouldn't that be a great feeling? Right? We always think that Jesus is here to, you know, make us follow a bunch of rules. No, he actually is here to purify our lives, and he wants you to experience that kind of renewal in your heart. You know, when David was dealing with tremendous sin in his life, King David, he wrote these words in Psalm 51. He said, "Create in me a pure heart." Some versions say a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. What does that mean? He's saying he wants a heart that longs for holiness. He says, "Do not cast me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me, Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you." A clean heart. As the people show up and see this man sitting there with Jesus, they are seeing a purified man in his right mind. What a contrast we are presented between what it looks like to walk in wickedness and what it looks like to be with Jesus and have the Holy Spirit residing in your life. Right? We see God's great mercy here in this story. But maybe the most touching part of the whole thing is when Jesus gets back into the boat. They ask him to leave. Verse 18 says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but he said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Everybody he told. Here's a man who wants to leave everything he knew behind and spend the rest of his days with Jesus. You know, it reminds me of the Lord of the Rings, right? "Go back, Sam. I'm going to Mordor alone." "Of course you are. Finish the line. And I'm coming with you." Yeah. If you've never seen Lord of the Rings, you have no idea what we were just talking about. But I love that. That's one of my favorite movie series, right? Because it's about the battle for good and evil. It's a real thing. And this man was desperate like that. He was desperate to be with Jesus. And Jesus cared enough for this one guy that he came all the way across the lake just for him. But instead of letting him get into the boat, he sends him out to spread a message of his mercy to others. And here's what we see. We see that Jesus not only freed this man from a living hell, but he had a plan for his life for the kingdom of God. What a turnaround. And he went on to tell his story throughout the Decapolis, which means the 10 cities. So he spread and he evangelized these 10 cities. You know, God has a lot of people in mind to free that we may not think he has in mind to free. Right? Maybe some of the most impure people that we know, some of those guys. As we kind of wrap this kind of crazy story up today, I want to ask you a question. Maybe something is haunting you. Maybe you have some old demons, some skeletons in the closet. But you know what? The thing that often lingers behind, you know what it is? It's that feeling of impurity. Right? I just want that gone. We can't often shake that. But I want to tell you that Jesus not only wants to deal with those old demons that you have, He wants to make you completely pure again and to feel that cleansing in your life. And you might think you're too far gone. Think again. This man had absolutely everything going against him. He hurt himself. He was tormented. He lived in misery. He was a physical, emotional, and cultural outcast, an exile of humanity. Someone said, who had it worse, Job or this man? Right? And at least Job had a few friends come and see him. This man had it bad. He was considered unclean, which is the worst thing you could be in the Jewish culture. Because being unclean meant that you were separated from community and all alone. And the saddest part about people when they go through something that they are ashamed of, they tend to go and live out in their own tombs of misery and stay out there. But Jesus takes all that was unclean in this man and He sends it off the cliff. You don't have to deal with this anymore. And He says, hey, you unclean things, go live somewhere else. This one belongs to me. And He looks at the man as purified and clean. Amen. Now, the next time you see a terrible movie trailer or a horror movie trailer, which is very possibly today, tomorrow, or the next day in October, I just want you to remember that Jesus saved you from that nightmare or some version of it. He did. He saved us from being haunted for the rest of our lives. Amen. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up as we close. And we're just going to worship the Lord today. But while they're coming up, listen, this scene was not just a physical revival for this man. He wasn't just physically restored. This was a spiritual revival. And that is the restoration that many of us still need in our hearts. And how does it happen in our lives? We are cleansed when we receive a new spirit, a holy one, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has promised that same Holy Spirit to all who are willing to come running out of their tombs and fall at His feet and then turn and become a witness for His glory. He has the same plan for you. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my what? Witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That sounds a lot like that guy, doesn't it? And then to Peter's preaching at Pentecost, people were cut to the heart by this very message. And they wanted to know what to do next. And here's what Peter said. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It is time to run out of the graves and fall at Jesus' feet. It's time to come out of the impurity in our lives and submit to His holiness. Amen. Jesus wants to pull your life out of the tombs. And He has come to deal with those old demons, and to turn your life into a life of witness for His mercy. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Father, let us receive the word today. God, let this seed go into good soil. Don't let the enemy steal this seed that we need to submit all of our lives, every part of it, to the holiness of God. And let You take over. And Lord, we speak. We speak to the impurity we have all experienced. The demons don't want us to know the purity that You have waiting for us. And this battle is beyond maybe what we can understand fully here on this earth, but what we understand is that our minds and our spirits and our bodies need to be submitted to the power and control of Jesus Christ. And would You teach us to fall at Your feet? Thank You, Lord, for coming for each one of us. You love us. You have plans for us. Amen.